Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. We have a fantastic guest for you today, and I think you're going to really enjoy the way that he's going to weave in some of his story and the incredible background that he brings to our podcast today. He's spoken on stage with some of the most iconic names in personal development and in business growth, and I'm not going to steal his thunder, so you're just going to have to stay tuned to hear what those names are. So he is also a fellow podcaster with a fantastic show, which we will get to in also a minute. Zach Palmer, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Madeline. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you. And why don't you share with our people a little bit about who you are and the work you do in this world, and then we'll dive into that great story.
Yeah, absolutely. So, my name is Zach Palmer. I'm known as the sales and persuasion strategist because as someone who's personally grossed over $150 million in sales and has been a top speaker and consultant for some names you might recognize like Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi, now what I'm up to is building badass sales teams that consistently crush it.
I love it. So people who might be listening would think, oh gosh, like if you've been on the stage with Tony Robbins, how could I ever approach that? But the sales teams that you really focus on developing are people who are, let's say there's an owner-led sales team and it's just not being able to create the momentum that it needs. Really people who are right before that lower mid-market, right, which is 10 million plus, people who are still small business owners, so not out of reach. This is right in the wheelhouse of the people who tune into our show, and this is exactly your area of passion. So why don't you share a little bit more with us about how did you get to that 150 million? First of all, pretty damn impressive number. Tell us more. Inquiring minds need to know more of that backstory.
You know, it started when I was 16. One of the first jobs I took, and I hate to admit this half the time, but I started as a telemarketer. And I was the only person in a company of over 400 employees that was working part-time. And within 3 months, I was constantly tied for first place in sales with another guy, Jamie, in the organization. So I realized at a very early age that I had a knack for communication. And, a passion for connecting with people, just something I enjoyed. And when you have the ability to solve people's problems through a product or service, you know, what better opportunity than sharing those things with the world? So that was like the early identification. And then it was, a 20-year journey from there. I took over a family business at 19 years old, and it was in the health and wellness industry, especially fitness retail store. And what I didn't know at the time was the company was only doing about $300,000 a year in gross revenue and was over $800,000 in debt.
Wow.
So I had a major uphill battle. And mind you, this isn't with no formal business education, no schooling. I got about a year and a half of college and all of a sudden I'm running a company. And this is in 2005. So first 2 years, I doubled the business year after year, expanded and diversified to incorporate boutique personal training studios. And then 2008 happens.
Yeah.
Carpet gets pulled out from under you. So I'm like, again, no formal business schooling education. It was a lot of school hard knocks. I mean, there was countless days. I remember sitting on my office floor crying, figuring out like, how am I going to survive this, let alone thrive? But I did find a way. And through a series of events, we built up a really big commercial practice. We were one of the only facilities in the nation that was duly licensed to sell both commercial and residential exercise equipment.
Cool.
And I had the boutique personal training studios. We were working with government contracts, big oil. So, there was a lot of big opportunities where we were making very, very large installations. And that led to corporate wellness presentations and kind of the inception point to my speaking career. I ended up a speaker and consultant for Tony and Dean and got shared stages with them and names like Alex Hormozy and Stu McLaren, Dan Martell, Brandon Burchard, all of which are, just incredible humans, not to mention brilliant.
Yeah.
And then just hit that pivotal point where I'm like, it's time to go back into business for myself. So that's a little bit of the backstory and how I was able to generate so much revenue working both with some of these very large companies and building my own.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, one of the things you said in our green room, which I loved, is how cool it was to be on the stage with some of your heroes, right? So why don't you share a little bit about that experience with us? Give us a peek behind the curtain of that. You said they're incredible humans and you really loved your work with them. So we just love to hear about it.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember making one of the first and most significant investments I'd ever made into really myself, but was for my business. And it was back in like 2013. You know, it seemed like a huge amount of money to put out, $10,000 to go to Business Mastery. And now I've invested and will continue to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in my education because every time it creates exponential returns. I mean, you know, most people, I don't remember who said it, but it's like we need to invest more in ourselves than we do in our business. And that was one of the wisest things I've ever heard, and a value that I continue to live today. You know, working alongside them, I remember being at Tony's event and I'm with my group. And at one point I said, I'm going to be on that stage. And I don't know where it came from. Like, you got to understand that I never wanted to be a speaker. When I was the kid that hid in the back of the classroom, I would do anything to avoid having to speak or give any kind of public presentation.
Yeah.
And I still remember the exact moment when I was given the opportunity to speak at a wellness event. And for some reason I said yes. And that led me to where I was today. You know, they put out a call for speakers. I was one of the early adopters of the Knowledge Business Blueprint. When they put it out, I did well with the program. They put out a call for speakers. And I was one of a handful of people from thousands around the world that were selected. And that was kind of the beginning of that journey and experience. But you know, what's so cool about being around them and having those opportunities is just getting to learn the way they think. And I think another thing that was so inspiring for me, and I think what every entrepreneur would love to hear that's listening to this episode, is you also realize that they're just human.
Right.
You know, we tend to put people on these pedestals and think that they've got some kind of superhuman or supernatural ability. And the reality is they just think differently.
Yeah.
You know, you ask better questions, you get better answers. You make a decision and you follow through on that decision and you either succeed or you learn. And they're continuing to surround themselves with other brilliant people that fill the gaps and where their weaknesses are. And I think ultimately that's what it comes down to, is you've got people that are very mission driven. You know, Tony, there's nothing you're going to do to get in the way of his ability to make impact. And I love and respect it about him. The way he lives his life is not the way I could ever imagine. I wanted to be Tony for the longest time until you saw behind the scenes. And it's like, man, he has given everything to his mission and purpose. And my vision of what I want for my life and experience with my kids and family is a little bit different. And that's okay too. So it's getting to know what you want, but continuing to surround yourself and put yourself in those rooms, because you're going to extract something just by virtue of the fact that you are around other brilliant minds. It's just, how do you get in them?
Yeah. I love what you said about he gave everything to his vision and his mission. Right? Like, that is just such an important notice that people say they want something. And the question is, at what cost? Right? Because there is a cost. And if you say that you wanted to be Tony, right? What that would mean is I can't also have equal enjoyment of my family. I can't also have access to my own time, right? You think that, oh, being a really highly successful entrepreneur means you have time freedom. Depends, right? Asterisk maybe, right? It might be the case, but it depends how you design that, right? When you are the thought leader and you are the one to whom everybody comes and your name is on the business, that is a very hard hurdle to overcome, right? Because they want you. They don't want the guy you trained. They want you, right?
Exactly.
So that's a really important notice about this intersection of desire and reality, right? Where desire and reality come into a good cohesion. Okay, great. It can hum. But when it doesn't, when you're like, ooh, maybe what I thought I wanted and what I actually want, we need to reconcile, right? And dream fresh, dream something new, right? That's one of the most exciting things I think about our dreams and our hopes and our aspirations. They lead us down paths we would never have gotten without it. But sometimes when we're close to the achievement, or when that achievement is something that could be possibly in view, recognizing, wait a minute, that's not actually what I wanted after all, right? It's led me to greater clarity about what I actually do want, right? So you took that entrepreneurial pivot, do something a little different, still do incredible work in this world, and had a fantastic experience doing it, but gave yourself the opportunity to zone in on that point of clarity. It's really cool.
You know, I think that's a really important piece too, is, you know, I know at least for me, like I think about this actually frequently. I was on a walk yesterday and I was thinking about Tony and then, you know, something similar to this conversation where, you know, he's done more or less the same thing for over 40 years.
Yes.
And he's become a master at what he does. And what I think is so beautiful about it is he found his passion so early on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a blessing and a gift. But I think at the same time, if we have that expectation of ourselves to find that thing that we are a master at and continue to pursue it until we become the best in the world, you know, oftentimes we think there's this perception that it happens early on, but the reality is we change, we grow. We have different life circumstances, different traumas that we're healing from, different things that clouded our vision and perspective. And, you know, you might find or create a new passion at 40, maybe it's 60, maybe it's 80 years old. And it's giving yourself the permission to pursue that thing and pivot and change, because you are a very different person. I'm sure you would agree, you know, now versus 10 years ago. Now, if you're one of the, you know, quote unquote, lucky ones that fell into that thing early on, great. But if you decide you want to move.
Right.
You know, there's nothing that holds us there other than our own beliefs.
Yeah. I have this fantastic coach that I work with, and she's a specialist in human design. And one of the things that she points out for me is that you, Madeline, are never the type of person who would have been a child star, ever. Like, that's just not in the cards for you. That's not how you're created. I'm going to find my zenith in my 50s and beyond. Right? Yeah. I'm still in my 40s. I'm happy to be in my 40s. I love my 40s. My 30s were hella hard. I do not want to repeat of those. That was intense, right? But I'm happy to be here. But as each decade progresses, I have a vastly different trove of wisdom to pull from. And I have become, for instance, more patient, right? Having my son wildly changed my perspective, right? I am a profoundly patient person in a way that I wasn't before I became a mother of a kid with autism. Right? I was forced. It was against my will. I will admit it freely. I did not want to be patient. I had no desire for that virtue. I never prayed for it. I never wanted it. I resented practicing it. But what it served me in my life and in my business has been radical, right? The way that I can patiently wait for an opportunity to show up and to present, and I can capitalize on that opportunity at the right time because I'm a profoundly patient person. Mm-hmm. If you would have taken me in my 20s, not so much.
No, me either. Your kids teach you so much, though. I mean, there's no better mirror to hold up and see how you are showing up in your life.
I mean,
I know I'm an exponentially better leader because of my kids today.
Sure.
And because of the perspective that they provide me and the mirror that they hold up. And it's such a gift. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard.
A lot of times it's hard, but it's a blessing.
And then when your faults are writ large right there, oh, look at that. Oh, they just picked that right up from me. That was 100% my doing, and oopsie.
I think I felt that yesterday. Yeah.
But also there's those beautiful moments where they say something caring, or they show compassion to another kid, or they go out of their way to share their troubles with you, and that's your doing too, right? Mm-hmm. So it cuts both ways. And for me, that's just one of the beautiful gifts that hard work, because you don't always get the gratification of seeing it. So when it does happen, I'm like, oh, that point to it, enjoy
it,
linger over it. It's real worth it. So
honor
cool.
and acknowledge it too. Yeah. Make sure that they repeat more of it, right? Get them focused on doing more of what's right.
That's right. That's absolutely true. Another piece that I wanted to pull out of your story is this initial foundations in telemarketing, which I think it's fine. It's all good, right? We use telemarketing in our business. So why to be ashamed of it? It's great. We love our people. Is that this love of communication, and it had some different transformations over the course of your career, but communication, speaking on stage, I mean, communication, hello. And then building out sales teams is also massively communication forward, right? So that's a really interesting thread that continues to weave itself right into your present day work. So I love that little thread of communication. It's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure it shows up also in your podcast. So why don't you share a little bit about the Perpetual Growth Podcast and give us a little plug. We want to hear about it.
it's simple and straightforward where the inspiration came from. One of my mentors early on instilled in me the idea that one of the fundamental laws of the universe is if something's not growing, it's dying. So it made me realize, you know, look, if many people are familiar with the wheel of life, right? We have all these different sectors or areas of our life, which we tend to at least attempt to compartmentalize. And oftentimes in doing so, we're unaware of how synergistic each of these areas are. And if you're falling short in your interpersonal relationships, your intimate relationships, it's going to have an effect on your business, whether you believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And same thing as it pertains to our health, our spirituality, your wealth and investing, I mean, any single context. So for me, the podcast was an opportunity to find and interview other experts that could speak to their core area of focus in health, wealth, business, relationships, will periodically dovetail into spirituality, and look at how we can properly integrate and take a much more holistic view at our life. Because we tend to compensate in the areas that we feel most confident or the most secure, which is what can lead to that level of neglect in other areas of our life. You know, and it was ironic, but I mean, just as a case in point example, I know that some of the greatest growth catalysts that I personally experienced didn't come from an investment in business knowledge, skills, and acumen. It came from investing in relationship coaching and how to be a more effective communicator, and where I wasn't listening as well as I thought it was. Because I mean, it's that same thing too that I find so fascinating. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm really effective in business. I'm an outstanding communicator. I know I'm a great listener. I'm so powerfully influential, but it didn't always translate to the home environment.
Yeah.
You know, actually, here's a really good way to look at it. One thing that we are conditioned for in your core area of expertise, I'm just going to use the example of a lawyer. If you have a lawyer, that what are they rewarded for all day, every day?
Putting
people on the witness stand, giving a great deposition, asking really powerful questions, right? And the challenge is, if you take those same activities that you are rewarded for in the business world, and then you come home and you try to apply them with your kids or your wife or your husband, you're probably not going to have the same level of success.
Sure.
So it's that ability to put on a different hat and assume the values and character traits that allow you to be most present and successful in that area and shift gears when it's appropriate. And that was a really, really powerful lesson that came for me. And a lot of what the podcast is about is creating the perspective that we need to be able to be more, I hate the word, but it's still most appropriate, more balanced and successful in each of the areas of our life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that in entrepreneurial life, balance is very rarely 50-50 or 30-30-30-10, right? Balance looks like 90-10, but then also 10-90, right? It's that making sure that in the macro picture, that all those component parts are given care and attention, not, as one of the words you said, neglected, right? Not suffering from neglect. Another really interesting component part is that you can't escape that you bring all of who you are to everything that you do, right? It's just, you cannot escape that. That's just, you are one total person. And one of the things that I have found really interesting is that sometimes we don't bring our greatest gifts home, right? Because we only have, let's say we have 100% to give, but we gave 100% at work already. That's now depleted. So that greatest gift that we're now depleted in, we have no bandwidth to bring it home, or to find a way to translate the usage of that gift into a home environment. And that dynamic, one of my mentors told me once, and I loved this piece of advice. He said, Madeline, why would you rob your family of your greatest gift? And I just was like, oh my gosh, mic drop, right? I'm a solo parent. So for me, I have to assume a really important dynamic inside of my family. And it was so interesting to think, like, in a partnership, you know, when I am dating someone, when I do have someone in my life, that I didn't want to have to do those things that I have to do at work. But instead of a have to, look at it as a get to. Like, where can you leverage those strengths in a way that's congruent within your family dynamic, within your relationship dynamic? And if you look at it as depriving those key relationships in your life of your greatest gift, for me, that was a transformational perspective.
It's huge. And it also comes, it runs in parallel with open communication, because we're not always going to have absolute awareness. And I think the older we get, the wiser we get, the more in tune we become with ourselves and our environment. And I think that's a critical piece of evolution as a human individual. But at the same time, I look at it like a pendulum. Mm-hmm. Life is like a pendulum, and it's, you know, swinging to all these different areas of life. And when we start to get out of range, you start to feel those warning signs, whether it be intuition, whether it be the hard conversations. Yep. It's our job to capitalize on that awareness and try and swing it closer to back to center. And to your point, now we're probably going to go back to 90 on the other side.
Sure.
And then we're going to
overcompensate a little.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, those things happen, but it's okay. As long as we become aware of those changes and we recognize that it's never going to be perfectly balanced. It's never going, every season of life is going to require a different level of discipline and focus on different things. Yeah. But as long as we are consistently trying to show up and be our best for the people that are there for us, then that's how you live a much more fulfilling life and have the conversations.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So there's that like buffalo walk into the storm, right? So that they move through it more quickly because they're literally walking through it. That's how I look at all difficult conversations. I never want something that's festering to linger, because the longer you make it fester, the deeper you have to cut. And I am a like, just go right into it. Let's have the uncomfortable conversation. And it's one of the hallmarks of my success. I am willing to have uncomfortable conversations in my personal life, in my professional life, in my family, doesn't matter. I would much rather address the elephant in the room than let it stand there and take up our space, right?
Oh, we have to. And those, you know, the brain has a phenomenal way of creating narratives. And it's not common that those narratives are empowering. If anything, they tend to, you know, spiral out of control. So to your point, you know, when we can develop the fortitude to have those conversations sooner than later, it's going to create a positive impact in every area of our life.
Yeah, absolutely. All of who you are to everything that you do just can't be helped. Can't be. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Exactly.
So with all of this journeying and these fantastic stages you've been on and these companies you've helped to grow, and you yourself have embraced such profound personal growth, I have one very important question, which I ask all my guests. And those of you who tune in regularly, you know exactly where we're going here. Mm-hmm. So Zach, with all of this in context, do you consider yourself to be successful?
I love that question, because I think it's one of the hardest questions for most people to answer. And if you had asked me even a year ago, I probably would have said no. And this has been a byproduct of personal development and self-exploration and peeling back the onion and diving into old traumas and patterns that were showing up in my life. And now I can say wholeheartedly yes. Now, does that mean that I am where I want to be? No, but it means that I am happy, I am grateful, and enjoying exactly where I'm at. And I recognize that it's a part of the ultimate growth journey and experience. And I think that's one of the many dichotomies of business and life, is when we can learn to detach from our outcomes and desires. You know, you still have to have the North Star, the thing that you're moving toward.
Yeah.
We want to have clarity in our vision and in every part of our life, our business, our relationships, our health. We have to have that North Star, but we also equally as important need to detach from the outcome and instead focus on the journey, the process of moving there. And that's where real joy and fulfillment comes from in my belief system.
I love it. I love it. So what I try to do whenever people talk about success, because the part that I love so much about this part of a conversation is that the dynamics are uniquely individual for people. There's common themes, of course, that come up. Most individuals, when they hear, not necessarily highly successful entrepreneurs, but just most humans in general, when they hear the question, do you consider yourself to be successful? Their filter is, do you have lots of money?
Mm-hmm.
And the part for me that I have loved across this, and I'm probably going to do a solo show on it because I'm feeling real passionate about it, is that money doesn't come up in this conversation. I've asked this question well over 100 times at this point. Money doesn't show its face, almost never, because money is the poorest measure of success. Anybody could have money. You could have loads of money and actually not be successful, right? Because you didn't get your money in a way that was predicated on success, right? So it's a wild misnomer that success and wealth, or success and money, are somehow synonymous. They're not at all. Right?
No.
These deeper component parts, what's really important to you, shows up in the algorithm of your own success model. So I have a couple of the pieces of it. I usually backwards engineer the algorithm.
There's two things I want to throw in here, if you don't mind. You know, one, I think it was Tony that says this actually, and it's something I've never grabbed, and I absolutely love it. Success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. Mm-hmm. And again, success is really personally defined. I mean, what does that mean to you? What does that look like? Is it time freedom, financial freedom? Like, what does it look like? And that's also important for people to get clear on. But the other thing is, and I've seen this countless times with entrepreneurs, and I know this because I also used to be one of those people, is we develop these perceived success milestones, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, when my business hits here, I'll feel successful. Yep. When I accomplish this, I will feel successful. Mm-hmm. But what happens with most entrepreneurs is they hit that milestone, and instead of taking the time to stop and celebrate, more often than not, they immediately go, next.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if we're not training the nervous system to look for more of what's right, if you're not taking the opportunity to set a really strong psychological anchor and say, like, you know, take a bow, give yourself a jumping high five, do something goofy, scream, like, this is amazing. Do something to reward yourself for the amount of time and energy that you put into creating that thing. You're more likely to create more of those wins. And then be mindful of the fact that you're probably going to immediately start looking toward what's next. Just take a moment to ground yourself in what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super important. That celebratory component part is, one of my very dear friends is a hypnotherapist. Thank you. Couldn't come up with it in the moment. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she always tells me and tells her clients is that you have to train your nervous system to look for the emotion that you want to feel. So when you're in a place of achievement, you've hit those milestones. If you don't feel the emotion you anticipated to feel, then it's not going to be magnetizing. So when you're in a moment of delight of an achievement, when even if it wasn't on your list of hot lists of things you wanted to do, but it feels delightful to you, she always talks about linger in that moment.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Talk about it to yourself. Describe it. How does it feel? Get as myopic with it. Dissect it in every way you can. But just luxuriate in it. Bask in it. Because then you're immersing your nervous system in the sensation and it will seek out the sensation again. So that moment of delight, that moment of celebration, if you only celebrate in delight, first of all, you're light years ahead of most. But if you actually bathe yourself in it, you will attract even more of it.
Yep. So. No, I remember doing something when I was still just a kid. I mean, I was mid-20s hitting one of my first success milestones. I had closed one of the largest contracts I'd ever closed. And I called up a buddy of mine and said, hey, we're going to dinner. I got something to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And I just took him to dinner at, you know, my hometown. We had this, it was all built along a bay, and up on the mountaintop, there was this one particular restaurant, and you could sit on the deck and you just look over the entire Puget Sound. I mean, it was absolutely spectacular. I'm like, dude, we're getting crab and we're getting champagne. Mm-hmm. And as ridiculous as it felt at the time, now I think back to that and I'm like, I did what was right. I was actually starting to train my mind to look for more of these reward systems for everything I had put into this. And it was a long journey. So you're spot on. We just have to take the time to stop and smell the roses.
Mark the moment. Yeah, really mark the moment. Crab and champagne.
Like mark the moment.
I'm here for it. Yeah, I am here for it. Okay, let's see how I did on your success algorithm. Sometimes I nail it. Sometimes I don't. It's okay. All is good. We can chat it through. So for Zach particularly, success equals fulfillment and contentment, gratitude, having a North Star, and delighting in the drive to get there with detachment and robust relationships.
And I think the one thing that I would add in is freedom.
What does freedom mean to you?
It means the ability to do what I want to do when I want to be able to do it. So it's a combination of time and financial freedom. At this stage of life, you know, I went Mach 10 with my hair on fire for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then it was probably Mach 20 when I was with Tony and Dean. And again, I love the experience, and it was absolutely irreplaceable in every single context. And with three kids, I hit that point where I'm like, you guys are the most important thing in the world to me.
Sure.
And I thought back to my childhood and all these incredible experiences that I got to have with ski trips and being on a boat. And we got to do like a lot of really neat stuff that many people aren't blessed with. And I, you know, I know it's more about the time together, but I wanted to be able to recreate those experiences with my kids and not forever. I would feel guilty if I was stepping out of the business. Like, I'm not doing the thing that I need to do to build, to provide for them, to create the life that I want them to be able to have.
Yes.
And you get older and wiser and you realize, you know, one, what's more important to them than anything is the time with you. It doesn't matter with all the things.
Sure.
But if I can give them both, what's better yet?
Yeah.
So I like the freedom of time, the freedom of choice, being able to block off my Mondays and Fridays and take a 3 or 4 day weekend and go take the kids to soccer practice. And like that stuff is more important than to me. Yeah. Anything.
Yep. Love it. Love it. Okay. So we've got fulfillment and contentment, gratitude, having a North Star and delighting in the drive to get there, robust relationships with the time, choice, and money freedom to enjoy them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. We got there. We got there. Sometimes it takes a second take, sometimes it takes a third. You never know. All right. Well, this has been so much fun to riff with you about growth and communication and personal development and, you know, hitting mega sales along the way, getting some pretty cool milestones in there yourself. So if people want to learn more about you or to consider working with you, where can they find you?
It's pretty easy and straightforward. You can find me on my website. So www.thezachpalmer.com or thezachpalmer.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. Same thing, Zach Palmer. I'm easy to find. So as long as you're looking for the Zach Palmer, you'll find me somewhere.
All right. Sounds beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Zach. Happy to have you on the show. And for those of you listening from home, we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye for now. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McRae, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.